Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. Now today we're looking at how we're connecting with ourselves in a different manner. We've talked a lot about how we can connect with our intuition and all about that side of things. But today I've got a guest on that's actually going to talk about how we can heal ourselves and through his journey and how he did it. And it's quite a full-on journey too. And I've only seen the bio. I haven't heard any more yet. So it's going to be really, really interesting. So stay tuned for that one. But first of all, like, share, subscribe to the podcast or the YouTube channel, because you're not going to miss a thing then. You get all that information coming through to you. But with no further ado, I want to introduce you to the lovely Bo. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Ah, that's going to be our pleasure. Don't you worry about that. So, Bo, when I looked at your bio, you were pretty tough on yourself. You've had a pretty rough sort of a time. Mm-hmm. And it was really quite interesting that you really didn't want to look at getting better. You didn't want to sort of improve it. You were quite happy wallowing in the quagmire, for want of another word. And so I want to get into that. But first of all, we might as well start at the beginning. How did you get to where you are today? Or if you want to jump straight into your story, we can do that and ask questions from there.
Either way.
It's up to you.
Okay. Well, I am where I am today because I was broken. And I got to the point where it was either get better or start getting a lot worse. And so that was then my turning point was in my late 30s. I had broken down completely. I'd been in Vietnam at the time. I was living and working there, and I lost my job. I lost a girlfriend that I'd been with. I lost a business that I'd been working on. I was knee deep in all of my addictions, and I just completely crashed. I called my brother and I was like, man, I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't, I've almost ruined myself. And he's like, all right, we'll come back. You know, I was from America. So he said, come back to the States and, we'll do the best we can, sort you out. And then, so I got there, and when I got to America, I realized that I didn't want to be in America. So the first thing I did was I was like, all right, well, how do I get myself out of this situation? So I was like, all right, I'll get a bicycle and I'll ride my bike across America, and then I'll start a travel blog. And then, yeah, that'll just be my thing. I'll just be a travel writer. And so I rode from coast to coast. And when I got to the West Coast, I mean, I made it. I rode across the country, but the blog I did never took off. So I was talking with family. My aunt and uncle were like, all right, come back, come with us, and we'll help you get on your feet, and you can work here, you can work and then find work, and then stay here while you do. And during that time, my aunt got breast cancer. And so my drinking and my own self-abuse put me, like, was physically breaking my body down. Like, I was having like physical signs of this is taking me down the path that I had been aiming for, but I realized this was going to take a lot longer than I had planned. And so that, and then my aunt getting breast cancer, and I was just like, all right, man, you've got to get it together. And that's when I started. Like, I started consuming everything I could. Like, I started meditating. I started reading books. I read hundreds of books and spent thousands of dollars on courses, and I just did everything I could think of to get myself in the right space. And I tried and I tried and I tried. And I would always take, like, it seemed like I would take a step forward, but then I would always take a step back. So it was just, I was moving forward, but moving back, moving. It was just, I was dancing with a futility. It was just so frustrating. And I realize now that the frustration that I was feeling was my conscious self fighting against my subconscious programs, you know, my conscious hopes and dreams and my desires, my intentions, going against what I had programmed as a kid. And once I discovered that, once I discovered that the emotions were the problem, not really the problem, but they were the ones that were making the ultimate decisions of, you know, how far I was able to go. They were restricting me. My childhood emotions were restricting me. And once I found that, I went through a program called The Spiral. It actually was put together by an Australian guy. His name is Dane Thomas. And I went through his program, and the first session that I had was like just compared to anything else I did, like everything else I did just kind of scratched the surface. And it was more my willpower, and I was willing myself through these different courses and books and programs and stuff like that. But then I would always just kind of regress. With this spiral work, it was just completely transformative. After the first session, this is when I had my light bulb moments. It's just like little bubbles popping of self-awareness. And I was like, oh. You know, I had been aware that, you know, my drinking and drug use had, you know, had curtailed my success and put me off onto a path that, you know, I did not want to go. But, you know, I'd always thought, you know, well, I know other people that drink and do drugs and, like, you know, they're successful. So why can't I do it? Right. So that was my thinking was like, you know, they can do it. Why can't I?
Oh, and, right. So that's where you were at. Even though you were doing all this, you were still you're doing all your self-awareness stuff, but you're still drinking and taking drugs.
No. At that time. But I was looking. You know, as I was drinking. You know, before I stopped, I was. I'd always thought, like, you know, this guy does it. You know, why can't I? You know, this guy. Mm. So I would always put it. You know, I'm just like, you know, I can do it. He can do it too, right? Maybe I'm just not doing. You know. Maybe I'm not doing the right marketing thing, or maybe I'm not, you know, maybe the product's wrong, or maybe, you know, maybe I'm wrong, or, you know, whatever, you know. So I just kept trying and trying and trying, thinking that, you know, I could keep doing what I was doing while I was drinking and, you know, doing drugs. So, but yeah, once I went through the first session with this individual, it was just like, I mean, I cried for like 3 hours after that. And then for the period of time that I was going through the course, it was about a 2-month course, I believe. I think it was 7 weeks. And, so through that course, like I'm about, let's see Australia. So I'm about 178, centimeters. And I'm about close to about 78 kilos. And after I finished going through the course, and I'm not somebody that can lose weight, like I'm pretty thin. And when I finished the course, I was at 68 kgs. So, and it was just like, and I realized that, like, as I was going through all this stuff that, and later as I started building on top of that, that work to get deeper and heal the addiction, and my running away and things like that, that I programmed myself for, from younger ages, I realized like our bodies are storage bins for those emotions. And we embody, you know, that's basically what the word means. You know, we hold on to and we store these emotions in our body. We put them in our heart, in our shoulder, in our liver, in our knee, in our, you know, wherever. We all have different storage places that we keep the majority, some of these heavy emotions. And emotions, like everything else, is energy. And anger or hate or shame, they all vibrate at a very heavy resonance. And love, joy, happiness, you know, vibrate at a much more flowing resonance, right? So these, you know, these heavier emotions, as they're sitting there, they're just sitting there causing disruption in our body. And as I went through this work and I was releasing these emotions, like the mass that this energy was attached to just left. And like I said, I lost 20 pounds. I mean, I've gained it back now, but it was just me cleansing that energy, and those emotions.
Wow. So. That's pretty amazing. So can I ask, Bo, before you did this particular course, had you started your self-discovery journey or your, you know, you?
I've been doing it for like by that time, like 6 years. I'd done meditation. Okay. I'd done everything. And it was like, we got to this point where we found this course because the woman who is now my wife, we met when I moved back to Taiwan. And so I had been working, I had been working on myself for about 2 years by that time. And then I've been in Taiwan 5 years. So, and then we did this like two and a half years ago. So hey, I don't know how all those numbers add up. Anyway, it was like, two and a half years ago. We went through this work, and when my wife and I first met, like, it was just sparks. It was unbelievable. Fireworks. It was just the most amazing connection I've ever had with another human being. But the thing is, like, we would, like, when we argued, like, we would battle. It was pretty, like, we would have some pretty heated arguments. And the last one, which was like 2.5 years ago, when we started doing this, when we found this word, because we were like, all right, this is it. We've got to fix this. Like, you know, either we fix it or we part ways, right? You know. Mm. And so a friend of her introduced her to this individual who did this work. And I contacted him. I was like, hey, man, you know, I've tried everything. Like, what do you got? Like, you know, please, you know, I hope you're the answer. Because nothing else that I've done has worked. And yeah, sure enough, like with the first session, it was like, boom.
Yeah.
Immediate. We touched places that I'd never gone before. And found the real reasons that I'd been self-sabotaging. Like, I didn't feel worthy. I didn't think that I was worthy enough for the life that my friends had, you know, with wives and kids and nice jobs and money and, you know, all the things that I had desired. And yeah, once I discovered that, I was like, oh my God, like, I have been doing this to myself. I've been punishing myself because I did not think I was worthy. And then we just went through a whole host of other emotional clearings, and each one of just like, just fireworks going off. It was amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the reason why I asked you if you already were working on it before you actually went to this is because a lot of people think, oh, okay, I just need to do that course and then I'm done.
No.
Exactly. And where I guess where I was going is that we do have to do a lot of work. And these courses and all the readings that you've done and all the learnings that you've got all stack up and help for when you do get this course, when you do find the right course or what you need to do, and you then do get those breakthrough moments. Because somebody could step into that course that wasn't ready for that course, and they won't get those breakthrough moments. Whereas because you had done a lot of work and you got to the stage where you just didn't know where else to go or what to do, it allowed you to have that breakthrough moment. And that's what I wanted to bring that forward, because a lot of people do. They think, oh, you know, where's the next course that I need to do? And that's all I have to do because it worked for him, so it's going to work for me. Mm. They don't understand the build-up that you have had before you get to those breakthrough moments. And that's what's really beautiful. You've taken on all that information from other areas and then taken it forward. So that's really cool. So you've had this amazing breakthrough after going through all that quagmire and everything else, and your puppy dog is barking in the background. I can hear him.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So you've had that. Now, this has allowed your relationship to improve, or, you know, to grow and develop. It's allowed you to grow and develop because you've done all this internal work. So where did you go from there, Bo?
Well, the thing is, there's one thing I want to touch on, like what you were just talking about, about the build up and everything like that. So the work that we do is it's never ending, right? So even now, after having gone through, everything that I've gone through and had my epiphanies and my awareness and like, completely changing my life around, like, last weekend I had a down weekend, and it was and I realized what I was going through, and I just like let myself like go through it. I let myself experience the sadness and the I guess mild depression that I was going through, and I felt it, and I moved through it, and I embraced the process as I was going through it. So the thing is, like, life is a cycle. We keep going through this cycle over and over, and like the bumps get smaller as we move forward, right? But you still have those bumps. All of us do. I mean, Elon Musk, Michael Jordan, I mean, they all have these, bumps, no matter how, I mean, even, Dalai Lama. So, it's not just people with money, right? So anyway,
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I've forgotten, but that's all right. We just keep going.
All right.
Because I do, I like where it's going anyway.
Okay,
And
cool.
it's true that people look at other people and go, oh, like we can look at you and go, oh, you've had your aha moment now. You're right. You've seen nirvana. You're fine. Everything's going to be rosy. But it isn't.
No, it's not. It's a
It's
constant. Yeah, we always like we have to keep working. It's like, same like exercising or eating healthy, right? I exercise often, but like if I take a month off of exercising, like I'm gonna like get a little bit flabby, and like I'm not gonna look the way that I want to look, and I'm not gonna feel the way that I want to feel. And the same thing with like, eating. I eat extremely healthy food. I watch what I eat and what I put in my body now. And so if I started eating like chips and ice cream and laying on the couch and watching TV, like my body would go turn to a body that I wouldn't be comfortable living in. So, it's I mean, you can have ice cream, you can have chips, but you can't have it every day, right? So it's just we have to reward, we have to do the right things, and then reward ourselves when when the time is right, or when we feel the time is right. And the thing is, with the work that I've been through now, like, addiction was a huge part of my life. And before I stopped drinking, I was at a case of beer a day, and then I was drinking Jack Daniels at night to put myself asleep. And when I now have the choice, like after I went through this work with the individual that's the spiral, I had this, I questioned, I asked the person that I did this work with, I was like, hey, I think we've uncovered the main emotions that were controlling my drinking. I was like, have you ever worked with somebody who's done this and then has been able to drink again? They're like, no. I was like, I don't believe that like an alcoholic, like, person that has problem, I don't like that label, alcoholic. I don't believe a person that has problems with alcohol, like, is that's just their destiny. Like they're stuck, like they can never drink again. I just don't believe that. I think that, yes, okay, addiction changes our brain, but who says that we can't change it back? So
Absolutely.
my thing was
Oh,
that.
hang on, Bo. I've got to go deep. That is gold. We've got to hold on to that because that's been my belief, but I've never been able to prove it. I honestly feel that if you choose to be sober, you choose to be sober. But if you choose to have a drink, you've not fallen off the wagon. You've just chosen to have a drink. And if you can, and if you choose the next day not to, it's I get. That they sort of put you into this with the alcohol, as you said,
Ah,
the
that's
name,
yeah, you
alcoholic.
boxed in, right? You're like, and then you're limited. Anytime we use labels, we limit ourselves. And that is just like, the same thing with alcoholism. Like, I hated the fact that after, as I was addicted, and as I was, just drinking like a, fish, I always like, why, because I knew that, like, you know, when I had a drink, like, the monster inside me just was like, oh, this is great, I love it, you know. And one, I could never have one drink. It was one or 20, that was it.
Yeah.
And so as I was going through it, I mean, I knew that it had my number. And I was like, God, you know, I was always irritated that I was like, this alcohol, this drink, this little brown or golden liquid has that much power over me. I was like, oh, why? But I just wheeled myself through it. I still wake up in the morning. I felt hungover, but I would still go throughout my day. But once I started clearing, I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure that I can do this. And so a couple of months after I finished this course, so by this time it had been, I don't know, 6 years since I'd had a drink. So my physical addiction, part of the addiction was
gone.
Right. Yeah. Subsided is a good word. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to try it. So it's, I mean, I was, you know, based on my past, I was kind of I like to gamble a little bit. So I was like, I'm gonna try it. And so I did. So one weekend I had a glass of wine, and then I was like, all right, I did it. And then the next weekend I had a glass of wine, and I think maybe I had two. And then the next weekend I had three. And then the next weekend, like, I had like half a bottle, and I was like, and I could, at that point I was like, all right, I can feel it. I can feel that voice. I can feel that, the entity in me waking up again.
Yep.
And so I went back and I looked at the work that I had done with this individual with the spiral, and I was like, you know, I've got to do more work. I haven't finished. So I actually went back in. I used all the tools that I picked up from this individual, and I started working on myself. And the tools are part of some of the tools are muscle testing. I use self muscle testing, and then there's a meridian release points, which are like a kinesiology chart with all the meridians and the organs and the emotions inside of them. So I started going through, and I started finding the emotions that I had attached to these addictions and the other feelings of self-worth and confidence and stuff like that. And I, over the course of a couple more months, I finally did it. And so I now there's a beer in the refrigerator right now. It's been there for, I don't know, a couple months now. I might have one. I might have it this weekend. I might not. I mean, I look at it sometimes like, wow, well, you know, I want a beer. And then I'll go in there. I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful part now, because now it's my choice. I have it there. So I can, I can have it if I want it, but you know, if I don't want it, I can also not have it.
Have it, yeah. So you've cleared all those things there. You've done your work, and you've got that understanding of it. That's amazing. And I know when we've been out somewhere and someone sort of goes, oh, no, I can't drink. You know, I don't want to fall off the wagon. I think to myself, you haven't done enough deep work. You've done great work, and where you are at is perfect, you know. But there's more to do, and you are aware of that. When you said you heard the dragon or whatever it was, you know, that monster that you knew had control over you last time, you knew it was still there. So there was more work to be done. And that's all that beautiful self-healing. So we've got to there. Now, you've talked about tools and tricks, and we, of course, we can't go right through all your meridians and that. But I love the idea of the self muscle testing for the self. But before we go any further, hang on, I need to let people know, because the ticker tape's going down the bottom, and we need to let people know how to connect with you on the website, especially if people are experiencing these addictions and they want someone to talk to and somebody to get an understanding of, and they can talk to you about that. So it's a real, real good focus for them. So the website is HTTPS. I'll just say the website. So it's, how do you pronounce that?
AmoNiClear.com. So Amo in Spanish means I love, and Ni in Chinese means you. And this work is a blended philosophy. It combines a bunch of different stuff. So I thought it was AmoNi was a good representation of what it actually is.
Okay, so it is spelled, it will be in the description anyway, but it is spelled AmoNiClear.com. So we've got to the stage where you've gone through all this. You are really, really self-aware. So you've got this awareness to start with after the reading and a few of these small courses and different areas like that. You've got an understanding of where you're at and what you're doing. Then, and you realize that you needed more, you needed something else. And you happen to come across this course from this Australian guy and the spiral course.
Yeah,
and that gave you the big aha moment. That was a real big movement because you actually got the aha moment. So from there, then you have tested a theory to see if you could have a drink or not and what was it going to be looking like, and realized that you needed more work. So you've gone in and done some more of your own self-healing.
Right.
And you wouldn't be able to do your own self-healing if you hadn't have gone through the beginning, getting that understanding of that, getting your aha moment and going through there. So self-healing is really, really good. Anyone can do it, but you do have to have that strong awareness, self-awareness. So we know how you got that self-awareness. All right, let's talk about some of the self-healing and how you do that and how we can help others with it.
Okay. Yeah. We are all healers. Like I don't see myself as a healer for others. Like I am my own healer. You are your own healer. Whoever is listening to this, you are your own healer. I've seen myself when I work with others as a guide. Like I've already been through this. I can show you exactly what to do to put your body put you in the best position to heal. But we are all healers, and we all have the capability to do so. The only problem is, like, you know, if you listen, you know, going back to my own story, like my ability to heal was compromised by the emotions that I'd programmed as a child. One of the big emotions that, or one of the big points in my life that had a huge impact was when I was 12 years old and my parents divorced. They sent my brother and I down on the couch or in their bedroom, sorry, and told us, like, you know, hey, we love each other, but, and as soon as that but came out, I was like, oh man, what's going on? And like, I just freaked out. And like, they told us they were getting a divorce, and I ran out of the room. And that was my program. Like I would ran. That's why I left America in my 20s. That's why every time I would have an uncomfortable moment, I would run, whether it was a girlfriend or whether it was with work or whether it was with like a country. Like I would just leave country. I would just pack my bags and leave.
Sorry, that's just wow.
Yeah, right.
But you worked out what it was. You worked out that was your trigger. That was your go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, there were so many other things. Like I said, I'm not sure if I said this earlier, but our bodies are like a high school hallway, just like littered with lockers. And instead of books and homework assignments that we didn't complete, our body holds emotions and we store them everywhere. Some people store them in the shoulder. Some people store them in their knee or their lower body. Some people store them in their stomach or their heart. You know, these are places that we hold onto or embody these emotions. And using this work, we can go in and find the work. Muscle testing. When I first learned about muscle testing, the first part I learned was two-person muscle testing, where one person stands with the testing subject stands with their arm out, extended out, and then the testing person stands behind them and pushes down on their arm. So if a yes, then the arm stays extended, and a no, the body can't hold a falsehood and that arm's that muscle extended at the same time. So the muscle, for lack of a better word, breaks and the arm falls. So I thought that was a cool party trick when I first learned about it. But I was like, I don't want to work with somebody else and have them like asking me questions about, you know, what I got going on. But then when I learned self-muscle testing, I was like, well, this might be kind of cool. Because it's basically, it puts you in direct contact with your own body. And I've always been the kind of person that, like, I want to do things on my own. Like, I don't like things. I don't like people doing things for me. I'd rather, like, if I'm going to build this website, I want to learn how to build the website on my own. If I want to, you know, stop drinking, I want to, like, do it on my own. I don't want to go to meetings. Like, you know, you don't know me. Like, so, and so that's why, like, self-muscle testing really, really resonated with me. And when I first started doing it, it took me, like, about 3 weeks, maybe a month before I was really comfortable with it. Because, you know, at first, the way that we do it is I use my left hand is my testing hand. I'm right-handed. And so with my right hand is my, I guess, my testing hand. So my left hand, I make a ring with my finger and thumb. And with my left hand, I make a ring with my pinky finger and my thumb. And just interlock the two rings together. And there's the same principle with the arm test. So yes, and the rings stay tight. Okay, no, and the rings break. And it takes you a while to get used to that, you know, what is yes and what is no. But once you establish that, the finding that yes and no is basically your body, your subconscious trusting you. You trusting yourself. But when I first started doing it, I was like, man, this is BS. Like, what am I doing? Like, this is stupid. But I kept doing it because the breakthroughs that I had with this individual, so I was like, all right, I can, we got some stuff, so I know this stuff works. And the muscle testing puts you in direct communication with your body. The trust is first, and then once that trust opens, then the communication just flows, and you're able to go in and use this meridian chart and find where the emotions are, and then we release them, and the process is through the process, you know, it opens up your intuition because you learn to start listening to yourself. You know, for so long, for so many years, decades even, like, most of us just don't listen to ourselves. When we were a child, we started listening to our parents, and then it was our teachers, and then it was our friends, and then it was our workmates and boss. And then, like, most people now that I see, like, walking around outside or have their face glued to a mobile phone. So, like, what they got going on inside is, like, you know, an afterthought that's been gone, like, years and years and years. So when you start, when you use this muscle testing and you actually start, you know, you're looking for, you're asking yourself, you know, these questions. You know, I'm looking for looking for a traumatic event. Or if I go back to a traumatic event, I try to find the emotions that are attached to it, what ages they happen. You're actually tuning into your body and you're listening to your own body. And by doing that, once you start doing that, your intuition opens because it's like, hey, this guy's listening now. Maybe, you know, maybe I should, you know, maybe I can start, you know, talking to him again or her again and feeding her some feedback of what I think, you know, some directions that, you know, are a better way to go. And for me, it was just like, boom, 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 just sparks going off. And I was like, wow, life started opening up. And it was a beautiful experience.
Wow. Okay. And yes, I totally agree with you there, because as soon as you do start become aware of your body, you will get those messages for sure. And they do become a lot clearer. Okay. I want to, if I can, just go through that muscle testing one more time.
Because yeah, of course.
It's one of those ones that I like to use as well. And because it's really good, because it's all part of developing your intuition. It's all part of trusting who you are. So if you are right-handed, is that the finger and thumb, or is that the pinky and thumb?
I use the pinky and thumb on the right hand.
The right hand? Okay. Yeah. And so then the right hand is the one that we're going to see whether it's going to break or stay closed or open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the left one is the first finger and the thumb links together, touches together. And then the right hand, if you're right-handed, so that's your stronger hand. If you're right-handed, it is your thumb and your pinky, and they interlock. Now, when you ask the question, and this is where it can be really confusing, when you're asking a question and you're not necessarily getting an answer, It's because you may be asking the wrong question, or not the wrong question, wording it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So one of the great ways to do this is you say, okay, tell me what yes is and tell me what no is. And then you can get an understanding what, say, yes or no is. But as we know, when you're asking yes or no questions, you could say, am I going to have a baby boy? Well, you might be pregnant, but having a baby girl. So it could be a no, or am I pregnant? It could be a yes or a no. There's lots of different ways, that it can refer to. So just be mindful of the questions you ask. And as you're doing it, Bo, of course, doing it professionally like you're doing, you've got the beautiful Meridian charts and everything else.
Right.
For people at home, when we say don't do that at home, well, you can do this at home.
Yeah, definitely.
Do it properly. You may not get the same results as what Bo's getting because he's got all the professional side to it. But it's a great way to start.
The way I started was like, I would just look at things like in my environment. Like, I would look at the tree, like that tree is green. All right. That tree is red. Right. And then, I would deliberately find yes and no answers to tune into, like, no. Okay. At first I was like, that tree is green. Yes. That tree is red. Right. And it would stay true on both of them. I was like, that's not right. And then I would just keep doing it over and over and over. And you're like, that man is tall, that woman is short. And it's, this is blue, this is gray. Like that, just test obvious things. And as you're doing that, then, and like I said, it took me like almost a month before like I was comfortable with like, oh yeah, okay, this is working. And so, it takes a while. I think a lot of people, I'm not sure how many people would actually, go through the whole, getting in tune with that yes and no. I mean, maybe I was just like more blocked up with than other people, but I know it does take a while.
Yeah, it does. And that's like anything, it's sort of practice. And what you're doing is you're getting your head and you're getting everything in line. For that action to happen, you have to get everything in line. It's like, it's not magic. It's actually, very, very in tune, So it really does need to take time and practice. But I like how you've done that. You've assessed it. You look at something and you know the yes, no answer. Is that tree red? No, it's not, but it's not working. Okay, let's keep practicing. And I mean, honestly, you're sitting on a bus and, waiting at traffic lights. It's not hard to be practicing that sort of
thing. That's when I did it. I did it all the time. Like I was walking around the house. If I was like, any time that I was just sitting around, I was doing it all the time. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. And now that you know how to do it, you're getting the answers that you want, and you can trust those answers. You feel confident in those answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to bring forward, and I'll pop on the ticker tape, you've got a self-discovery course coming up too.
Yeah.
Have you got it coming up? Or yes, you've got one coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, one in June. I'm running them. Going to do one this month, and then I might wait because it's a 10-week process. So,
okay. We don't need dates. This will go out. This will be going out in the future anyway. We don't need dates, but we do need to know a little bit about this course because people can then jump onto your website and have a look and see, if that interests them and how they can go about it. So tell us a little bit more about this self-discovery course.
Well, it is the culmination of everything that I've learned with this work. And then, for addiction, for our pain that we experience, physical pain. Also I have a book called Amo Abundance, which comes with the course, and that's for dealing with the blocks that we have around money. Amo Form is around addictions and food addiction, any addiction. Also Amo Movement, which has helped me get rid of the programs that were keeping me sick and injured. That was another way that I self-sabotage myself. I was in two different car wrecks where I almost killed myself, and then I've broken bones outside of those accidents, just left and right. I used to get sick all the time. And so, yeah, that's, those emotions are gone. So there's that with the course, like I take the individual through what I've been through. And then there's a video course at the end that teaches them how to do all this work and how to apply the, like all the strategies and the muscle testing and the charts and everything. And when I first went through this work, what we found was emotion, but I found that for me to beat the addiction and the other things that I've beaten or gotten away from, I had to go deeper. And I realized that these emotions are not only attached to our body, but they're attached to our emotional body. There's energy that's attached to our energy body, right? There's emotions that are attached to our physical body. And so the initial work was just, didn't go deep enough. And so with me finding the energy and the like the karma and also the emotions, I was able to uncover the things that were holding me back. And so this work includes all of that. Plus we do chakra clears each week. With this work, part of the work, the Ama breath, when I first went through this work, anxiety was a really big thing for me. And my wife was going through a Reiki course, which helped. But at the same time, like I told you earlier, like I did, like doing things on my own. So this Ama breath was like one of these intuitive things that came into me and has helped me and others go through the process of moving the emotions. Ama in Spanish means I love. So you're basically healing with the breath of love. So Ama is spelled A-M-O. The first part of the breath, ah, is like at a, you're visualizing the white light coming down to the crown of your head in through, down through the throat and into the chest. And with the M is a and we're swirling that energy around and we're connecting with the emotions that we found in the body. And we're imagining those like being pulled into the chest. And with the O, we're shooting that breath or that breath and as the emotions that we've collected with that breath out of our system.
Whoa,
so that's just nice. Huge. So I use that breath now for, yeah, to eradicate and remove the emotions. And so that, I mean, the course is mega, mega comprehensive. So basically I guide you through the work. And then at the end, you're empowered to take this work and do it on your own and go as deep as you want.
Oh, that's really cool. So what you're doing is you're giving them a theory, they're giving them all the understanding and everything they need, mm-hmm. but you're allowing them to go and do it themselves as well, or have all that information to back up. Because I know a lot of coaches and healers and different areas like that want people to keep coming back to them.
I want you to be fixed. Like I want you because I want you to be able to feel like you can do the work on your own. And that's a beautiful part about this work, actually, as I'm guiding the individual, right? You know, and you know, we give power to others that are helping us, right? But you know, I'm using muscle testing to help. Like I'm finding the emotions, I'm connecting with the person and their emotions that on my end. And been helping them through the process, but they are connecting with the emotions, right? They are helping me find the emotions as we do it. There are meridian release points that are connected to the emotions and where we find them, that they are connecting with on their body. They're using the Ama breath to clear the emotions. And then they are visualizing, at the end we use neuro-linguistic programming. So they are visualizing at the end themselves in the future, and they're pulling that future towards them. So in essence, like I'm there helping them, but as I'm guiding them, they are healing themselves.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So the course at the end, the video course that I put together, is just me running through everything that we've been through and teaching them, say, here, this is yours now. You take it and do with it and like just and run with it.
Yeah, so they don't have to keep coming back. They've got it all there. That's really important, because that's empowering them. That's giving them the power within to actually do that healing. And that's huge. That's absolutely huge. But though, we are running out of time, so we have to wrap it up. But have you got any last words? I love that breath too. A, bringing it in. M, moving it all around, and then releasing it. I just love that. But I could talk about that quite a bit, but that's part of your IP as well. So
doesn't jump matter. On no, here. I mean, yeah, check out that's on YouTube. That breath is a free video that I have on YouTube. Shows you how to do it if you want to check out the YouTube channel.
Okay, cool. So any last things you want to say before we say goodbye?
Just thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you sharing your platform with me to help me spread the the AMO message. And for anyone that's out there, if you're listening right now that this resonates with you, then feel free to reach out. I don't have any on our website. I don't have any sign up forms. I don't have any join my newsletter. I don't have any cookies. There's none of that. If this work resonates with you, send me a message and let's start a conversation. I'm not going to hound you, and you're not going to get a 5-day email sequence from me. if you want to heal, if you want to heal yourself and you think this was, this is something that would resonates with you, then yeah, reach out.
Cool. Oh, that's really lovely. All right. Thank you so much, Bo. I will go into, I've got to press the right buttons first. Yes. That was amazing. Practice that the muscle testing technique. You're going to really love it, but give yourself the time to do it. Jump onto Bo's website and have a look at that. The link is down below. And check out that breath on his YouTube channel. That would be really interesting. And look, if you're having any addictions and if you've got these issues, these little steps, all this information is what Bo was getting as he led up to his aha moment. If you haven't reached your aha moment, take on board all this information. Get an understanding of it. Because if you do sign up with Bo or anyone else that's on this show, you're more likely to have an aha moment because you're doing the work as you go. Start doing the breath. Start doing the muscle testing. You're getting this information. Start using it. It's just gold. And I keep saying that. I don't know where I keep saying that. But anyway, I'm Susan Jane. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Share, subscribe to the podcast. And so you get a lot more of these tips and ideas, because you're getting all this for nothing. It's brilliant. I just love it. If this was around when I was growing up, it would have been really good. But we didn't. We had to read books. We didn't have the opportunity to being in the car and listening to a podcast. We had cassette tapes, and then you had to buy all those cassette tapes. So you're getting all this information. Take on board what you need. If it resonates with you, then connect with my guests, because that's what they're here for, for you guys. All right, that's me. I'm Susan Jane. I have to press these right buttons so I get to in the right spot. have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Okay, bye for now.